On the drive over, all I could think about was how I was going to face him. It was such a special plane, and Pebble loved it. It was getting dark when George slowed to round the corner near the house, and a car came up behind and rammed into us. My seat broke loose, which knocked me forward, and I hit my head on the windshield. George's seat also broke loose, but he managed to pull the car off the road where we opened our doors and threw ourselves out. George hurried over to my side to see how I was, and we looked at one another in disbelief. Then we both started laughing. "George," I gasped, "I've never been in a car accident. I've never been in an airplane accident. Now I've been in both within the same hour." The driver who had hit us was standing by her car, crying and holding her wrist and saying over and over, "I'm so sorry. I'm so sorry. I didn't see you." George looked at her wrist and felt it gently, then said, "It's broken. I'd better drive you to the ER." He turned to me. "Marilyn, you walk on up to Pebble's place." I was somehow still alive, in shock and wobbly, but in one piece. My neck and head hurt, which I knew would make the two hills on the way to Pebble's house feel impossible to climb. But I started out, nonetheless. By now it was pitch dark, and I felt panic take over as I tried to think about what I would say to Pebble. I hadn't walked far when a set of headlights came up behind me and stopped. I heard a car door open. It was Manning. "Thank goodness," I said, hurrying to get in. We drove in silence up Pebble's driveway. The house was dark, so we went out to the airstrip where we saw multiple lights on either side of the runway. "My God," Manning said. As we got closer, I saw what Pebble had done.